March 23, 1981, California State University at Long Beach. Raymond Lindgren, interviewed by Kay Briegel.
Bonney could not choose a chairman because they both opposed the then head, or whatever you want to call him, German, who is still a member of police science, or police, what is it, criminal science, criminal justice
criminal justice department.
They disagreed, but they also disagreed as to who should be the chairman, and they were maintaining it within, so that one wouldn't approve the other. So it was a complete bust. Again, the resolution of it with agreement from the Academic Senate was to bring in an outside person, and this was Guthrie, who was brought in, Robert Guthrie, who was brought in from USC, and who himself, after 4 years or so, 3 or 4 years, resigned as chairman because the hassle was too much for him. The only one of the three member department that remained was Dr. German. The other two, one went to become a chairman of the police science program in his community college, and the other returned to police work. But there are all kinds of. We had problems in the social department, chairman of that, and the programs, and they called on the dean. There were elementary education had its problems with choosing a chairman to replace Perry, or to elect Perry, actually, to re-elect Perry, because he was chairman when I came of the new department, and then it was a secondary time. We had numbers of these. Math was in its turmoil, both externally, because they hated to be in the science building. They hated to be linked with science. They considered themselves, by majority, to be humanity. Philosophically rather than science, and that was a regular problem, including within the department, harassment of members of the department who did not agree, and as a consequence, to get involved in the departmental affairs and eventually to exchange memoranda, which limited the extent of the department's control of members of the department.
Yeah, I think I have a real unbalanced view of that because I've only talked to scientists too.
Well, if you talk to scientists vis-a-vis the mathematicians,
yes,
that is very unbalanced because they universally were antagonistic to the then science, I mean then mathematics leadership, and considered in a rather snobbish way as a service department for science, which is part of the rebellion of the math, legitimately. They are not a service department. They have their own function, and that was part of the thing, to try to protect math from the science people, and that was easy enough. The other was to protect the math department from itself, from destroying its effectiveness, and a very heavy hand in terms of bringing, assessing the qualifications of people who were proposed for appointment. Because for a time it appeared that they would never appoint a PhD in the math department. And my insistence was that they had to have qualified people, which meant terminal degrees, PhDs in mathematics. That was not acceptable to at least a contingent of the department. And eventually we had to work out some kind of transfer of the chairmanship of the department from one person to another. And eventually it's a sad personal case, as well as an overall unreasonable, unrealistic kind of view of the department by the department itself. Or members of the department itself. You ask also something in terms of the Professor Noguer and the foreign languages. The case came up, there had been discussion of splitting the foreign languages. Professor Noguer wanted the continuation of foreign language department, but split up in really into segments, French, Spanish, and German. The others come along, Italian and Russian and other language elements come along. But there was a very serious conflict. Professor Noguer went on sabbatical for a year to Spain. His replacement was a strong advocate of the separation or the division into discrete departments, language departments, with departmental status. Well, this was fine. The problem was to get a discussion of it going, but not to complete the process until Professor Noguer returned. And when he returned, then came conflicts in terms of this, and in particular harassment of individuals who were proponents of the division and the real vendetta within the what then was foreign language department, the resolution of which was only splitting up. In other words, so long as you continued the vendetta within the foreign language department, that would continue. And since Professor Noguer himself was in Spanish, it would mean that the Spanish would be one individual separate autonomous department, but you'd leave French and German out of this vendetta, in part, though there were some supporters of Professor Noguer. Well, this had nothing to do with what eventually became the infamous Noguer case, which was a simple proposition of purportedly the award of a grade without the individual actually having performed within the class, as a matter of fact, having been absent from the class most of the semester. The question there really is kind of superfluous, and a matter of fact, I testified in the so-called Noguer case, they went into all of the background of the conflict, which, not on my part, but on Noguer's part, was a conflict with the dean of the college or myself. Then I so testified in terms of the case. My point in terms of that testimony was also that Noguer did not assign the grade. I mean, on the evidence, the grade was assigned. Noguer confirmed it by approving the grade sheet, and that is as far as Noguer's involvement in the thing is concerned. In other words, I think there was a whole big thing that has nothing to do with the particular so-called Noguer case, and that Noguer was not involved in that. He's involved in many other things which I opposed and which told him so personally. And of course, his dear object was to get promoted, and in order to get promoted, because of the rule, you had to have a terminal degree, which meant a doctorate, a legitimate doctorate. And because I refused to accept his word, thus became an enemy of Noguer, and consequently, because Noguer was involved in the campus politics, which had been referred to by President Horn currently as the famous or infamous 20, a handful. Noguer was very much involved in that group. is a part of the ongoing conflict on campus.
But wasn't there a real question about the legitimacy of his degree?
Oh, so far as the degree is concerned, you never got it. No. What he had, eventually he was able to get this, what he had was a statement from the Minister of Education to the effect that he had been resident and studied and had submitted written evidence. But the Spanish have a 2 degrees, as many of the Europeans do. They have proper or regular professional PhD, and then they have the licenciado. What Noguer got was the license, not the degree. He got the licenciado, which has no standing in the United States, anywhere in the United States. Now that's what he was trying to insist was his PhD, and the others similarly had the same problem, particularly in the foreign languages. Anybody with a foreign degree has the same problem in recognition of a foreign degree. And of course, unfortunately, there was bad precedent. Two other members of the foreign language department had been approved, one later taken away, which even worse, prior to my coming. I had nothing to do with them. And they were then declared PhDs, and so put into the catalog that way. And one of them, unfortunately, had his degree taken away from him. I say unfortunately because my point was, in the arguments vis-a-vis about the degree, the argument is, well, once you've granted approval, there's no way really you can take it back. So, a fact is a fact, is what I was saying. But Nagar and I were friends and unfriends and went around and around. And, it was kind of interesting because when I left on my sabbatical in 72, I testified in early instance. Then there was another hearing on an appeal, and I had to then testify. But that was without Noguer. It was simply with the two lawyers and the hearing officer and myself. And they shouldn't have, but they let it go on and on. There were three and a half hours of testimony that I gave in this case, the aftermath of which is that Noguer's lawyer, who was a member of the business administration school, wrote, expressed his appreciation. What had happened, and it's interesting, and what happened on campus, what had happened is that after the first instance, I said that another, I knew it would get back to Rhodes. But rather than approach me as an adversary, why don't you seek for evidence? And that is what Rhodes did in the second time, and in part the reason why it went so long. So I left behind the deposition, which was much more favorable to Noguer. I've had many good and many bad contacts with him again. But it's a very interesting case in history. But it's not the only one. There are many of them. And of course I was involved in probably the most famous, that is the naval encounters.
Yes,
instance.
That was going to be my next question. Why did you brought it up?
The question here, well, can we hold just a minute? And the naval encounter. Let me give the broad background for you. It goes back to the ramifications of the 50s. And in part, not entirely, but in part is tied up with the antagonism, generally, toward one Professor Carl Gregory, And on that side, one of the original 49ers, that is Metzger, Professor Metzger, the two were in conflict. One of the strange things I met in the early meetings in the fall of 1961, when the Academic Senate met, was a report from a committee which was charged with investigating the qualifications of one Professor Gregory. The report ended with a recommendation to the Academic Senate that he be fired. And remember, he had tenure. That the report carried the lack of qualifications. Back of that is recognized as all of the venom and antagonism toward Professor Gregory. His qualifications were dubious in terms of his field. This is agreed. Even Professor Gregory did that, though one of the ironies of the history of the Gregory case is that a reputable publisher published a quite good book on management by Professor Gregory eventually, which has helped in terms of his own standing. But he was involved on the administration side, and there are many quite rational individuals, sound individuals, other than Metzger, who sometimes can be quite irrational, opposing Gregory. Well, Gregory, and there are a group of them, not only Professor Gregory, but others as well, who held what are called lungfish positions. They're neither in or out. They aren't members of departments, and they have no what later came to be called, and now is a part of a conflict with the teaching area, TSAs, teaching service area. They had none. And so even before the mandate from the trustees or the chancellor's offices that everybody had to have a TSA, we started moving people and were successful without any difficulty in getting, for example, Dr. Peck, who was in the administration at the time, was then given a teaching service area within his field in education. Boyd Davis was given a position, teaching area, service area position. All individuals from my appointment on all had teaching area services, mine in history, for example. And I had what is called retreat rights. These are, we wound up with three really strange cases. One was Gregory, one was Professor Madison, Ryland Madison, and the third was individual with non-secondary education. The fourth was Professor Searles, who left, resigned that year, and went to Penn State. But these three, then on study, and you got faculty involved. Professor Madison was assigned to economics after long negotiation. The professor in education was assigned to secondary education. And then Gregory was assigned to what became the Department of Management, which through Professor Gregory and Professor Metzger directly into face-to-face conflict, or contact, rather, which developed conflict immediately, and carrying on what had been at least a 10-year, about a 10-year conflict between the two of them. One day, in a committee which Professor Gregory chaired, and on which Metzger was a member, there was the naval encounter, which consisted of threats and this kind of thing, and the face-to-face confrontation between them, in which there was body contact. That's the naval encounter, belly to belly, or naval encounter. There was no blows struck or anything of this, despite some of the purported evidence. Two other members of the faculty were present. One, Professor George, as she's now she married a member of the physics department, and Professor Professor something or other in Chittenden, forget his name, Clyde Settle. Professor Settle was present. Both gave evidence at the later hearing. Now let me give background for that. The incident occurred, and immediately it became a campus affair because of its past. And the then chairman of the division, Austin Reap, who had been one of the very good friends of Metzger, they had had a falling out, and as a consequence, Dr. Reap proposed Metzger's firing immediately without any hearing or anything else, which I denied. I bounced to the president. The president told Reap to go back to Dean Lindgren. I repeated what I said, that there would have to be a hearing. But what happened in this instance is that Dr. Reap had departed from his position as chairman of the division, in which he was supposed to be impartial, and become part of the antagonism. This is all, of course, in transcripts, and there are many of them in the files that are available to you. But just this point, that the members of the management department, with two exceptions, had visited me day before the incident to ask that I fire Professor Gregory out of hand. In other words, a repetition of the recommendation to the Senate, which I had denied. I said there would have to be a form of hearing, and I saw no grounds for the hearing. That if they wished to bring it, it would involve a considerable long, drawn-out kind of a hearing. Well, then occurs the incident the following day. I think there is a linkage between the two. I've testified on this, and it's in the evidence, but very quickly the thing became almost nonsensical, because it became a personality thing, a conflict of two individuals, and with the campus lined up, I wouldn't say lined up. In other words, great support for Metzger and practically no support for Professor Gregory in this instance. But the situation in its simple form is that there had been physical contact and threats of physical violence against a member of the faculty. And I felt that in terms of my position, that I had to defend, regardless of who the person was, to defend the right of any faculty member to be free of, first of all, such threats, and secondly, to defend the right of any faculty member to have a hearing. And both those were involved in this instance. Okay. Well, then, with the approval of Dr. McIntosh, I referred the matter to the Academic Senate and its Personnel Committee. They didn't want it, and they delayed. And the last meeting of the Academic Senate, Dr. McIntosh and I asked for a report from the committee. The committee reported that they were unable to come to any conclusions vis-a-vis the matter, and that they would recommend no action with the implicit intent that there would never be any action. They were going to let it delay over the summer. So then Dr. McIntosh, and I recommended to Dr. McIntosh that it be left over the summer. That in the long run, the only thing that I could recommend, however, was that Professor Metzger be charged, as he already was, in essence, and that a hearing be held on Professor Metzger and his actions on that famous day and the naval encounter. Dr. McIntosh said, well, we can't hold it over the summer. I will take action. So he did. But in the discussions of the case, it apparently was only possible to fire a person. You either didn't do anything or you fired. There were nothing in between, no gradients in between. It later turned out, when the thing bounced immediately, as it did to the Chancellor's office, on appeal from the Academic Senate and from Professor Metzger, that there were alternatives. And the alternative eventually was that Professor Metzger was suspended for, I think, a matter of 3 or 4 months in the fall semester. A suspension, incidentally, which has been maintained all the way through to the Superior Court in Sacramento. In other words, it had not gotten to the State Supreme Court, but near to it. It's been through, I don't know how many hearings, 5? Two court cases, at least. I don't know how many others. And has, as a matter of fact, embroiled the whole campus. And it has a relationship together with the involvement in the Noguer case, which was only very tangential involvement, and as I've indicated, really didn't involve me directly, but Noguer and Metzger would have been the group that are part of the old group who maintain a constant liaison, one with the other, and have a very strong position. That's involved with my eventual resignation as dean of the college, or what was then academic vice president. But let me explain. The chancellor's office decided in the restructuring, along with other things, to change or adopt a new title of academic or vice president for academic affairs, and change the title, adopt the title of dean of the college. The chancellor's office was involved in a weird kind of thing, which has nothing to do with Long Beach, but with San Jose. They wanted to get rid of the dean of the college affairs, so they maintained that it was a change of position, not a change of title. Dr. McIntosh's position, with the committee which was established to study the question, Dr. McIntosh's position was that it was not a change of position, but a change of title, and that he would then stand with Dean Lindgren in his recommendation, had no other recommendations to make, that he requested the committee to approve Lindgren holding the position, changing title, but continue to hold the position, which would be then vice president for academic affairs. The committee decided otherwise, and here came one of the little, and the part of the committee, and most who have any interest in the matter know very well what it was. The committee was deliberately composed of 3 individuals who were of the old group, including Professor Rhodes, And three so-called neutral, and some of the people who were supporters of myself in terms of that committee's discussion, were caught in a very unfortunate position. And one who held personal grudge because I had had to intervene in a case in which he called his superior officer a son of a bitch and a bastard and other names. I'd had to intervene to threaten him with insubordination if he did not retreat and did not apologize to the chairman of the division, who was his boss, which he did. But that was the end of any possibility. So that was sort of unknown because the incident was kept and maintained in secrecy, with the exception of the three individuals who were, and four individuals who were involved in the incident in the corridor. Anyway, the committee then decided, it was not a change of title, but a change of position. They also decided further that the person holding the position as dean of the college